So this anger will not bring you full enlightenment as a Buddha, or to enlightenment as a Paccika Buddha, or to enlightenment as a disciple, and so on. So you talk to yourself this way. And also, you reflect on yourself, and also you reflect on the other person in the same way. He is angry with me, and he has anger in his mind, and his anger will not lead him to the enlightenment as a Buddha, and so on. And so the anger will give him painful results. So in this way, you may be able to get rid of resentment. And then the sixth one is review the special qualities of the master's former conduct. That means think of the bodhisattva in his life as bodhisattva. He had done many noble things, and so by reflecting on his former conduct, you may be able to get rid of resentment. And a number of jatakas are referred to here. The first one is what? For example, in the Sila Wandabhat story. Do you have jataka book here?
Yeah. At the library?
Yeah. So you can find these jatakas in that book. When his friends rose to prevent his kingdom of 300 leagues being seized by an enemy king who had been incited by a wicked minister in whose mind his own queen had sown hate for him, he did not allow them to lift a weapon, and so on. So the other king seized him and then buried him to the neck, and then he was going he was left at the cemetery with other of his ministers. Even he was treated that way, he did not get angry with that king. And then with his effort, he got rid of that state, and he went back to his palace. And then the other, he made peace with the other king. So the king, whose name was Silavanda, here practiced patience or forbearance with the other king who tried to kill him. And so in the same way, you should not have anger towards such person, and so on. The second is the paragraph 28. The second is the story of Kanti Wadi. Bodhisattva was a hermit at that time, and he practiced patience. But the king was a very cruel person at that time. And when the king met him and asked him, what are you? So, I'm a monk. What do you practice? He said, I'm a preacher of patience. So the king had him flogged with couches of thorns and had his hands and feet cut off. He felt not the slightest anger. Although his hands and feet were cut, he did not feel any anger towards that king. Then the general came, when the king left the hermit, the general came and asked him to get angry with the king. Please hate the king. Please get angry with the king so that he would not suffer so much painful consequences. And the hermit said, people like me do not hate. People like me do not get angry. That is what he said. Then the next is Chula Dhammapala. He was a child. Bodhisattva was a child in this story. And he was killed by his own father. And then the next one on page 329 was the jataka, the story of an elephant. Bodhisattva was born as an elephant at that time. The elephant, when struck by the stout shaft, addressed the hunter with no hate in mind. What is your aim? What is the reason why you kill me thus? What can your purpose be? Actually, what the elephant said was, whose order was this? Whose order is this? Not what can your purpose be, but whose order is this? Who ordered you to kill me? Because the hunter was ordered by the queen to kill the elephant, because the elephant has a tusk, and it is said that the tusk has six kinds of rays, so six colored tusks. That's why the elephant was called Chatdanda. Cha means six, and danda means tusk, but not six tusks, but six colored tusks. And then he did not kill the, although he could kill the hunter easily, he did not. He practiced patience or forbearance. And the next was the great monkey. Buddha was reborn as a great monkey at that time. So he saved a man from a rocky chasm, say, from a rocky pit. The man could not get out of it himself. So the monkey saved him. And then monkey, after saving him, the monkey was tired. And so he said, let me rest a little and let me put my head on your lap and rest a little. So when he was resting, the man thought, now, this is food for humankind, like other forest animals. So why then should a hungry man not kill the ape to eat? I'll travel independently. Actually, I will travel satiated, taking his meat as a provision. Thus I shall cross the waste, and that will furnish my fire tikam. I don't know what this word.
So I travel meat.
Yes. What do you call that? Provision. So he struck the monkey with a big rock. But the monkey was not killed. His head was broken, and so he went up. He climbed up the tree and said, you are a very ungrateful person, but as I am a bodhisattva, say, I will not hurt you or I will not kill you. I will even show you the way out of this wilderness. So he jumped from tree to tree, and his drop of blood from his body dropped on the earth, and following those drops of blood, the man was able to get out of the waste or wilderness. And then the next was a serpent king. So Bodhisattva was reborn as a serpent in this soda. And he had power, but he did not use his power to kill his tormentors. This is Buridatta. And then the next is another serpent. In another life, Buddha was reborn as a serpent, Naga. The same thing. And then next one, paragraph 34, is Sankapala, Royal Naga again. So Buddha was reborn as a snake for many, many lives. Now there are some people who find it difficult to accept that a person could die here and then reborn as a snake, and if a human being could be reborn as a snake or as an animal, because they were thinking of evolution. But it is not evolution, because it is just a person dies here and is reborn there as a result of his karma. So it is possible. Now, the other day I was reading a book about past life, and in that book the author said he regressed a patient, say, going to go back to former lives. And then he was asking, what did you see then, and so on. So in one life, the patient went back And in one life he was said, he said, I'm a dog now. So he remembered his life, his past life as a dog or as a wolf there. And it was reported in that book. And in Burma too, there was a monk who said he had been a snake. So as a snake, he got to go. He ate eggs. So one day when he was looking for an egg, the man saw him and so killed him with a spear. But he didn't die. He didn't die quickly. So he was put on a heap of rubbish and left to die. And he died and he was reborn as the son of that man. And when he grew up, he could remember his past life as a snake. And he remembered how he suffered before he died, after he was struck by a spear. So he was so apprehensive, so he was so afraid of suffering that he became a monk. So that he may not be reborn as a snake again. So such things can happen, and you can find people, say, who had been animals in their past lives. Some may not want to tell you, or some just don't remember. But there are people who had been reborn as animals and remember those lives. Okay, then, so many stories. And then the next one is Matu Posaga. Here is an elephant. So now it is in the highest degree improper and unbecoming to you to arouse thoughts of resentment, since you are emulating as your master that blessed one. Now, the Pali word means you are pointing to him as your master. That means you are referring to him as your master, not emulating. You are claiming that Buddha was your master. So we should review the special qualities of the masters from our conduct. Next, review the suttas that deal with the beginninglessness of the round of rebirths. Now, beings have lives in the past and they will have lives in the future. And this series of lives is called a round of rebirths. And nobody knows or nobody can tell when this round of rebirth begins. So that is the round of rebirth is beginningless. So there is no beginning. Although we know that there is a middle, because we are in the middle of this round of rebirths. So there will be many more rebirths, and there had been millions of rebirths in the past. But we do not know, or we do not know the beginning of it, or the beginning of it cannot be known. So beginningless. In this beginningless round of rebirths, the person who you are angry with may have been your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your son, and so on. So Buddha said, it is very difficult to find a person in this samsara who had not been your father, your mother, and so on. So he might be your father in your past life, or your mother in your past life, and so it is not proper for you to be angry with him, and so on. Now, the reference given there is S2189-90. So that is Sanyutta Nikaya. Now, Sanyutta Nikaya is translated as Kindred Sayings. So, Kindred Sayings, Volume 2, page 128. These references are to Pali texts. So, if you want to read the English translation, then Kindred Saying, Volume 2, page 128. The next is review the advantages of loving kindness. So there are 11 advantages to be gained from the practice of loving kindness, and they will be explained in detail later towards the end of the chapter, towards the end of loving kindness meditation. So if you are angry and if you do not practice loving kindness meditation, you will not get these advantages. And then next one, that is resolution into elements. So resolve that person into elements. Now you who have gone forth into homelessness, when you are angry with him, what is it you are angry with? Is it head hairs you are angry with, or body hairs, or nails, or teeth, skin, and so on? So you ask yourself, are you angry with your head or something like that? So resolution into elements. Then the next, and here not only elements. I always say, according to this, cut him into pieces. So if you are familiar with the teachings of aggregate, then you may say, are you familiar with I mean, are you angry with the material aggregate, or formation aggregate, consciousness aggregate, and so on. The last one is try the giving of a gift. So if you are angry with the person, give him a gift. It can either be given by himself to the other or accepted by himself from the other. So you may accept the gift given you by him, or you may give him a gift, you may give him a present. Because when somebody accepts a present, then his mind becomes soft. So you may be able to get rid of resentment. And a story is given here. As happened to senior elder who received a bowl given to him at the Chittala Pabda monastery by an alms food eater elder who had been 3 times made to move from his lodging by him, and who presented it with these words, "Venerable sir, this bowl worth 8 ducats was given me by my mother, who is a lay devotee, and it is rightly obtained. Let the good lay devotee acquire merit." The other monk was maybe resentful monk, so he made the other monk give up his lodging 3 times. You know, when you are living in a monastery, which is the property of the sangha, you are given a place to live, say maybe a small room. But if a monk comes who is senior to you, and if there are no other places to give to him, then you have to give your place to that monk, because he is senior to you, he is older than you. So that monk went there and get his place for 3 times, but out of malice. So the other monk said, donated a bowl to him and saying, "And this bowl worth 8 ducats, I don't know how much they worth, was given me by my mother, who is a lady body," and so on. So a gift for taming the untamed, a gift for every kind of good, or a gift at giving accomplishes everything. That is what is said here. By giving you can do anything, something like that. But we should not misapply this, because especially in Asia, in our countries, people say giving accomplishes everything. So giving a bribe. Once a car was stopped by a policeman in this country. The grandchild was driving, and there was her grandmother. So the grandmother said to her, "Give him some pocket money, or give him some my bride. Then the Jataka said, Grandma, it is not Burma. You cannot do that here. So, but it's good to give something to the person to get rid of resentment. Now, the breaking down of the barriers. When his resentment towards that hostile person has been thus allayed, then he can turn his mind with loving kindness towards that person too, just as towards the one who is dear and so on. So, after reflecting in different ways, and you'll be able to get rid of resentment, then practice towards him too, until the barriers are broken. And the characteristic of it is this. I think, can I say, indication of this? That means you may judge from this. When the barriers are broken and when they are not. The Pali word is lakkhana. Lakkhana is usually translated as characteristic. But sometimes, I think, it may be translated differently. So indication may be better here. The indication of it is this. And then there are four persons and so on, and the robbers come and ask to give one person for sacrifice. And if you can give yourself or any other person, you have not broken down the barriers. Only when you cannot give anyone are the barriers broken. Because if you say, take me, to be killed, do not take them, then you are not impartial. You want your own, what do you call, destruction. And that is impartiality, towards others. So you have not broken the barriers if you say that. The barriers are broken only when you say, do not take any person. Or you see other three persons as yourself, and so you do not find anybody to be given for the sacrifice. Only then the barrier is broken. The barriers are broken. That means you see them equally, impartially, these four kinds of persons. After the barriers are broken, or when the barriers are broken, then you are said to gain the sign and access. Here there is no special gaining of access concentration, but when these barriers are broken, you are said to gain access concentration. And from access concentration, you go on until you get jhana. At this point, he has attained the first jhana, which abandons five factors and so on. And then text and commentary. Now comes the text given in the suttas. And in the explanation of the words and how to practice meditation, there is a method of practice of metta meditation given according to what is taught in Patisambhida, and that is 522 ways of practicing metta. So please look at the handout today, and this is how we practice metta in 528 ways. First, if you look at the first column, there are 12 kinds of persons to whom we send thoughts of loving kindness. And the column 2 are the 10 directions, 4 cardinal directions and 4 corners and down and up. So 10 directions. And column 3 are the 4 kinds of the 4 modes of loving kindness. May they be free from enmity, may they be free from displeasure, may they be free from affliction, and may they live happily, or may they keep themselves happily. So in these four ways, you practice towards persons. And And we can practice metta following this chart in 528 ways. Now, if you look at the column 1, say 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, the space should be after 5 and below 5 and not between 4 and 5. So 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are called non-specific pervasion, and from 6 to 12 a specific pervasion. Because when we say may all beings, we mean all beings. And may all breathing things also mean all beings. May all creatures mean all beings. May all persons, all beings. And may all those who have a personality also mean all beings. So 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 mean just all beings without specification. And then from 6 onwards, we say may all women. In that case, no men. May all men, no women, and so on. So they are specific. So five unspecific and 7 specific. And then when we practice loving kindness meditation, we combine these three in different ways. So first we say, may all beings be free from enmity, free from displeasure, free from affliction, and live happily. And then, may all breathing things be free from enmity, free from displeasure, free from affliction, free and live happily, and so on and so on. We come to 12. May all in states of loss be free from enmity, free from displeasure, free from affliction, and free from and live happily. And then next we combine it with directions. So here in Pali, the word for direction comes first, but in English it comes later. So it's a little strange here. So you say, may all beings in the eastern direction be free from enmity and so on. And may all breathing things in the eastern direction, may all creatures in the eastern direction, may all persons in the eastern direction and so on. So following this, you practice 48 non-specific and 480 specific. So altogether we have 528 ways of practicing metta. And we have practiced this a number of times here in this country, and it takes about 45 minutes or maybe 50 minutes to practice the 528. Now, it's 9 o'clock. On page 336, at top of the page, there's an explanation of the word satta. A being is called satta because any craving for it has held it, has gripped it. That is why a being is said. So, satta or being, a being is called a satta because he is attached to his life or something like that. Now, but in ordinary speech, this term of common usage is applied also to those who are without greed, just as the term of common usage Pang fan, the alawanda, is used for different sorts of fans in general, even if made of split bamboo. Now, a being is called sadda. And why is he called sadda? Because he has attachment to things. Then what about calling an arahant a sadda? Arahant is also called a being. Arahant is a person, a saint, who has eradicated all mental defilements. So arahant, an arahant is free from all mental defilements. He has no attachment at all. But still he is called a satta. So the commentary explains here, in ordinary speech, this term of common usage is applied also to those who are without greed. Although literally, sadda means a person who has attachment, it is applied to both to beings who has attachment and who have attachment and who have not. And the author pointed out an example, the Pali word dalawanda, palm fan. So dalawanda means a fan made of palm leaves. But this word is used for other fans as well, whether they are made of palm leaves or not. So in these days, they are made of what are called paper or some slits of bamboo. Still, they are called dalawanda in Pali. So in the same way, a person is called sadda. A person who has attachment is called sadda, and a person who has not attachment is also called sadda. Can you give me an example of some example in English? You know how what is meant here.
Sometimes they use, used to use the word men to mean men and women. You know, that could be one.
I think that may be different. What I noticed was there's a town called 29 Palms near Palm Spring. There may be more than 29 palms now, or less than 29 palms now, but the city is still called 29 palms. Oh, I look at the pen, the word pen in the dictionary. What is the meaning of pen? Original meaning. It comes from French and from Latin. The meaning is feather. So, At first, the pens are made of what do you call that? Feather,
yes.
Quill. But now pens are not made of feathers or quill, but you still call it pen. So it is a usage. And next, in paragraph 54, that's an interesting word, pugala, in the middle of the paragraph. Pung is what hell is called. Actually, it is put in Sanskrit, P-U-T, put. And they fall into that is a meaning. Now, put kala, the Pali word, and Sanskrit word is P-U-D-G-A-L-A, put kala. This word is interesting because it reflects a certain belief in Hinduism. According to Hinduism, you will go to hell after death if you do not have offsprings, if you do not have sons and daughters. If you die without having a son and daughter, you will go to hell. That is why Brahmins always point out to monks, you are those who are going to hell. Because you have no family, you have no offsprings. So this is the Brahmin belief. That is why they have to be householders for some years. Even though they want to become monks, they have to be householders for some years and have a family and then leave the family and become a monk. So those who have no sons or daughters will go to hell. Now, pugala means those who are going to hell. So such persons. But later on, the word pugala is applied to every being. And then the word for a son is putra in Sanskrit. Putra. Tra means to protect. So putra means a person who protects you from hell. Because when you have a son, you won't go to hell. So you are protected from hell. So the son is a person who protects you from going to hell. So he is called putra.
That's the same as in Sariputra?
That's right. Yes. But later on, it just means a son. Because it is a Hindu belief. But the word itself is used by Hindus as well as Buddhists. And then I think the others you can read by yourself.
How far should we go?
To the end of Mitta, that is page 339, let us say.
So read to 339.
Yes. And next week, another 20 pages.
Oh, so we should read to up to where?
Let me see, 360.
354? That's when we get to the next chapter.
But we will have to go into that chapter too.
Okay.
So about 360, yes. End of the first immaterial jhana. So that chapter has much to do with Abhidhamma. Mitta.